A lot of people outside of the church doesn't understand what the joy of the Lord does for us. Amen. And sometimes we have to be reminding ourselves the joy that we have in the Lord. Sometimes we get our eyes off of the cross and get them on ourselves, and we can lose that joy just because we got our direction or our thought process going the wrong direction. Our focus is, yes. You want to turn the lights up for me, huh?
Yes.
I shared that last night there on one of my posts, that we got to make sure that we stay in the Word and not in the world. Because when we get in the world, we start thinking like the world does again. And it's not hard to go back in the thought life that you used to have. Or in the world, it's more about me, me, me. You know, what can you do for me? You know, being friends with somebody because you know that you can talk them into giving you something. You know, that's what the world does. And as you stay in the Word, you find out it's not for us to receive, it's us to give. That is, give the gospel, you know. Give God's love through us. Amen? You know, last night we was in town, and now we're at the church, and I'm getting kind of hungry. Well, Carol got into her purse and found gift cards. Gift cards. Oh, wow. So we were able to call Bob Evans and order lunch or supper there last night. And it didn't cost a thing. I know. It was awesome. And so whoever gave us that, I don't remember, we need another one. Right? I'll let you know that. But you know, when we saw that gift card, man, we eat at Bob Evans, so we did what we were doing in here, and we put a different nativity scene in the window. We want to take a chance after the church look at that thing. The what's the thing? The barn. The main, yes, there's a light inside of it, I'm trying to tell you that. So it's really awesome, you know. So we thank you, Marty and Chuck. Thank you. We was hoping he's going to bring real Calvin to tie there with us, you know. But anyway, we went over, and how awesome it was to go in and get dinner and to take it home. You know, it brought us joy, but really brought me happiness for a little bit. But again, just testifying what you were doing there earlier, Ryan, we went in there to pick up our food, and people were backed up the door. They got a 20-minute wait to get in to get a chair and stuff, you know. And several of us there were standing to pick our food up. And this little girl, she just running left and right and upside down. And, you know, and so I picked up conversation, you know, trying to make it lighthearted and stuff. And when we got done and I was getting ready to get my food, somehow my food came out first, you know. So, but I just looked at her and I said, hey, thanks for cooking for me tonight. She looked at me and said, okay, you're welcome. She goes, we'll get rid of that weirdo, you know. We're just trying to figure a way to lighten things up a little bit. But to lighten things up, Brother Chuck, can I borrow you? I asked you earlier to help out here. This is, of all the Advent, joy is always my favorite because I always do this. That we have here today, we've got candy. So you can pick out a piece of candy. Brother Chuck is going to pass it around, and he will not charge you for it. Taking donations, we can do that too. But what it shows is, like right now, I got candy for you. It might be lighthearted, you get kind of happy, you know, that kind of stuff. But probably in a few minutes after you eat the candy, you won't be quite as happy because now your mouth is dry and you want water. And so that happiness is going to pass you pretty quick, okay? Or if you like some of us in here, you might take a bite and your dentures going to be stuck in the candy bar, okay? But happiness lasts for a little bit. But joy of the Lord goes on forever and ever. And that's something that you all have because of Jesus in our life. Is that joy. You go through tough times and just rely on the Lord. Remember who he is. So, Brother Chuck shared a scripture to start with today. He actually drew it out. And it was in John 3:16. So we're going to turn there in a second. Once we get the candy passed up. Yeah, John 3:16, that was our winning scripture. But see, just momentarily, man, we were in church, and all of a sudden, here comes candy around. It kind of puts a smile on your face. I think candy does. You know, I enjoy it. But But after a while, that joy or that happiness, I'll call it, will be gone. You know, you forget about it later on when you're going home. You won't remember the candy, probably. And that's called a happiness. And what God offers us is joy. And the joy is something that gets inside of us, and it brings us a peace no matter what we're going through. I mean, today, if you get a phone call and you get a call and says, oh, you just got laid off, you know, say, oh man, Hershey candy bar. No. But, you know, okay, Lord, I'm following you. My life is in your hand. I know you already see tomorrow. I'm not sure why I just got laid off, but I know out there somewhere you have a position for me, trusting in him. And it brings a joy. I mean, that is in any aspect of our life, knowing, man, as we surrender our life to God, he's in charge of our life. And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we know God's going to work things out for us and for his glory. But back to what Brother Chuck recited earlier, John 3:16 we're going to start with. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Isn't that awesome? If God would have sent Christ into the world to judge us, nobody would be here. Every one of us guilty. Think of that. And you think for a moment, as we're reflecting on this time of the year, that God so loved you, Penny. He saw you from the time of creation. Loved you so much. Now I'm going to send my son down there. And he's going to pay the penalty of Penny's sins. And Starkey's sin. Not to condemn us, but to save us. Whatever you're going through today, look through Christ for a moment. If you're a born-again believer today, you surrender your life to Jesus, man, your sins have been forgiven. You cannot pay enough money to pay off your sins. Awesome. And to me, it even goes deeper than that. Even when you sin today, those sins are covered under the blood of Jesus. Look at that joy there. Some of us, we might have this thing coming against us right now because maybe in the past we did somebody wrong. Maybe in the past we made a stupid decision and we did something and, man, those people just will not forgive you. You know, I think we all might have somebody like that in our lifetime. I'm not sure. But look at Jesus. Of all the things in the world that could hold a grudge against us, wouldn't be the master, the one who's perfect? The one who's never sinned? You think somebody could hold something against us and be the master? Okay, you goofed up. You sinned. Get out of here. But his purpose in life was to die for our sins. To pay your penalty. And then to strengthen you, come and live inside of you. You know, he wants you to succeed. He wants you to be victorious. For the people in the world, they want to tear you down, don't they? They love to see you fall. They want to see you mess up. And every time that you share the Lord, and then something comes against you, look what's happened. Huh. He plays in the praise and worship at church, confesses Jesus as the Savior. He gets rear-ended. Ha, ha, ha. I'll teach him. Right? I mean, that's how we can look at it. That's how the world can look at it. But what's the attitude of a Christian? Thank you, Lord, that I was there. Thank you, I was a cushion. Maybe it kept you from going to hitting somebody else. Thank you, I was there to keep from going to the intersection. Thank you, God, that I was able to get up and witness. I was able to share your love. God, that car I have, you gave it to me. Or you're paying for it. Either way you want to look at it. You know what I'm saying? It's all yours, God. Use it for your glory. And I don't think he's seen the end of this yet. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen on down the road when he thinks about this day? Everybody's going to remember all about 2 weeks before Christmas. Man, I rear-ended this guy. And he got out of the car, and he was so upbeat, and just, wow, you really treated me good. There are some good people still in the world, you know? Who knows? That can go on forever and ever. Man, oh man. I remember I had the same thing happen about the same location 45 years ago. The guy ran into me, you know. Sunday morning, I wasn't going to church though at that time, and but we got had to exchange information. He's very polite, very apologetic. Just one of the things that happened, you know. So how we respond to things in our life is a great testimony to our Lord, and that's where that joy comes from. You know that you know whatever it is. Okay, God, everything I have belongs to you. Everything, that flat tire out my car, that's your tire, God. Let me get it fixed. You know, send somebody to me. And he does that. That brings us a joy in our life that nothing can take it away. Satan will try to, he will try to remove it from you. Some of us today, he might be saying, uh-huh, Christmas is coming. You don't have any money to buy presents for people. It ain't going to be the same Christmas like it was last year or year before. Well, I pray to God, none of our Christmases are the same. I pray that we're getting drawn closer and closer to the focus of what we're celebrating anyway, the birth of Jesus. And I was here on Friday night, as we look back last year, and when this pandemic started, and they shut down the baseball field and football field, and they shut down restaurants, and all the places that we used to go and occupy our time. I said, okay, I took away all the excuses now. You got time for me? And many of us found ourselves back in the world a lot more. We didn't realize how much we were distracted by the world. Amen? Yes. And now here we come, a celebration of the greatest gift of mankind, and all the presents stuck offshore out along California, okay? And so they're saying, oh, there'd be less presents available, and the inflation's gone up. Well, maybe that would just help us focus back on the real presence that we're celebrating. And that's Jesus Christ, Son of God. Amen. Because God can turn everything around and use it for us to be strengthened and drawn closer to Him. Mm. And it gives us an excuse this year not to buy presents. You know, that's out there on up out of California. Yep, yeah. Yeah, we have it. Yeah, had it ordered, honey. Yep, it's been out there for a while. So, yep, it's a new car. In verse 18 of John 3, it says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And what he's saying there is sin's already been judged. Amen? Before I come to Jesus, I was already judged and condemned by my own actions. You know, already that way. God didn't have to do nothing. Think of that. He can let me live my life. I die, go to hell. And who could I blame for that? And myself, you're right, Susan. Blame myself. And maybe in my younger days, I didn't understand that I was in sin. Okay? Yes, okay, brother. No. It's okay, brother. That's our next, like you said, that's, yeah, amen, amen. But as time went on, I started feeling this heaviness in my life, and that was coming because of the Holy Spirit, through my wife praying, through the church praying, and it brought, praise God, it brought my guilt to me. You know, God does that, and sometimes when people doesn't recognize that, we try to get rid of this guilt feeling we have, and that's, we reach out to maybe alcohol or drugs or other people, or we get ourselves, we're trying to find relief somewhere, amen? And the relief that we need is the blood of Jesus. You know, right? We all probably walked down the same road at one time or another. But already was judged, and then here comes Jesus. Here he comes to come along to pay the penalty for our sins. Think of that. You talk about joy. You know, I think the longer you're a Christian, the more joy you have, because you realize how far he's brought you. And you look back in your life and you don't see that old man, old woman anymore that used to do this. You see what God is doing through you. And not being egotistic, but you think about what he has done through you for other people. I mean, if you've ever prayed for anybody, look what he's done. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, boom, spoke with you. How do you pray? We have the dominion on the earth. And you yoked yourself to him to intercede for somebody. And like we said today, you're talking about your brother Wayne. Look at him. Amen. Time and time again, God is still working. It says in verse 19, this is the judgment that the light has come into the world. And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so his deeds may be manifested and have been wrought in God, otherwise it has been made by God. You see, that's the difference. Before you come to know Jesus, you want to hide all your sins. You don't want to have them exposed. Nobody wants to stand up here and talk about all the sins that you've done. Amen? But when we come to know Jesus, we want to expose our life more to His Word, the light, to expose us any other darkness that's still trying to hang on to us. We want to be purified. We want to be cleansed through the blood of Jesus. We want to be like Him. We don't want to hide things anymore. And from time to time, we can find ourselves getting ourselves into predicaments that can be somewhat embarrassing. You get tripped up. You know, somehow you start believing a lie that the devil is speaking to you, and the next thing you know, you find yourself in an area you shouldn't be. What God says to do, hey, confess your sin, and He is there to forgive you that sin. Amen? Amen. The worst thing to do is not turn back around. When you know what you're doing is wrong, He brings a conviction on, confess it to Him, and turn away from it and go on. Don't just stay. Don't give up. Don't say, well, I just can't do this Christian thing. I mean, you can do it with Jesus. You can't do it without Him. If you try to keep the Ten Commandments without the Lord, you can't do it. And if you try to keep the Ten Commandments with the Lord, you still can't do it. Amen? We need a Savior. And that is a free gift that He's given to us. That's how much He loved. He come to redeem us of our sins. And He just wants our heart to be for Him and to follow Him. He said, but he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been brought into God. So again, but he who practices the truth. When you practice something, you get better at it, right? Amen? Amen. So, what's that? That's it. We want to be perfect like Christ, okay? So all we're going to be practicing, we're never going to be Jesus totally, okay? But that's where your heart is compared to the heart of the world, okay? We practice, okay, Lord, I messed up. Where'd I go wrong? The more that we read the playbook, the better that we're going to get. Amen? We're going to practice this. Now, the Bible says that those who, I think it's in Corinthians, gives all the sin list, okay? Those who practice such things shall not see the kingdom of God. If we're practicing to do sin, if you're trying to get better at your sin, you're not going to make it to heaven. Amen? But you might be in sin, but you're practicing the Word of God. Does that make sense? Let me try it again. If you're knowingly in sin, get out today. If you know it's sin, turn away from it. Get out of it, confess it. Resist the devil. If you get something you're struggling with in the sin life, praise God that you're getting it out of your life. Read the Word of God and practice it daily. If you mess up tomorrow, the next day you get back up again, you continue on this work, this walk with the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Thank you. That's awesome. That makes us a fantastic statement. The number one thing is to resist the devil. So again, what our sister brought out to us today, there's going to be a fight. As you try to become more like Jesus, as you follow him, the devil will come after you. He will try to chain you, try to drag you back down. He'll bring people into your life, try to influence you again, you know. Or maybe old friends from the past will show up as they start talking about the old days, and next thing you know, you start acting like you used to. Well, the Holy Spirit is going to bring that upon you. Say, wait a second here. That's not you anymore. So we have to do resist the temptation to fall back in that area. Folks, there's some folks in our past that we can't go around anymore. Understand that. Not that we don't care for them, but that we care more about Christ in us. Because we are still too weak yet to go back around those who we once hung out with. If you're a new Christian, you've been hanging out with the Master for a year or so, and you get friends back there you spent 40 years with before you come to know Jesus, they can still have a great influence into your life. And a lot of times in peer groups, you're always trying to impress one another, right? And so you might get back in that same category again, is trying to impress people and see you can do the most dumbest things, okay? So there's nothing wrong with staying away from folks from your past until the Master says, okay, I want you to call this person up, I want you to do this. We have to be strong in ourselves and practice what Christ has given us to do. And there's no better practice than looking at the Scriptures and reciting the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures and wanting to be like Jesus. And that brings you joy. You know, is anybody here today worse today than you was before you met Jesus? I don't think any one of us have. Wow. Anybody here perfect yet? Chuck, put your hand down. Other than Chuck, anybody? No. No. We are righteous. Thank you. We are. We have Christ's righteousness. Amen. Our self-righteousness is like filthy rags, he says, but because of the blood of Jesus and us receiving him. Mm. Who wants to be perfect? We all want to be perfect, right? Amen. Amen. That's why you're here. You're still studying the Word of God. Still worshiping him. You know, he's worthy to be praised and worshiped. But as we follow him and his light shines in us, the difference he made in your life, but the lives of those around you. How many have people today that you've been witnessing to, whether by preaching to them or just living your life for Jesus, that they're starting to ask you more and more about the Lord, about your peace that you have, that joy? I mean, how can you have joy in a time like this? Because the joy comes from the Lord. You know, our happiness doesn't come from the things in the world anymore. Sure, we all like to have a new car, would we not? Probably most of us. Well, you wouldn't, Penny? Well, if you get one, bring it to me, will you? Right, but what I'm saying, there's nothing wrong with having things to use in the world, but don't let the things of the world control us. You know, if all I want a boat just like Kenny's got, and I'm unhappy till I get one, I've lost my peace, you know? I should be thankful Kenny's got a boat and I got his phone number. I can call him, you know. Hey, Kenny, what are you doing? Amen. You know, just things like that have that peace and joy with us. Now, we're going to jump up into Luke for a moment. Where are we already in Luke? We're in John, okay. Of course we're in John. I got so many marks in my Bible today. I should have took the ones out I don't need today. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Very familiar scripture this time of the year also. I can find my water bottle. Now chapter 2, verse 8 of Luke. When we're talking about the night that Christ was born. And it says here that in the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom he is pleased." Now, the announcement that Jesus has arrived to the shepherds out in the fields. And I think it's amazing how it was the angels that showed up. It's the angels that made the announcement, and that had to get their attention. You know, if someone would have showed up on a donkey and said, "Hey, listen, we had this baby is born down here in town, and he's going to be the Savior of the world." Oh, okay. Yeah, they might have heard that before. They might have heard about other Christ that was coming into the world and stuff. But boy, when God made the announcement, he used the angels, and when they spoke, they got the shepherd's attention. Wow, I mean, I'm not sure where they are at in their life or how much they paid attention to God. But all of a sudden, have these angels show up and say, man, joy. Tidings of great joy. Wow. I'm not sure what's going on, but we need to go down here and see what these angels are talking about. It's kind of like drawing them in a little bit, you know? Drawing them in. And they get down there, and they're going to see the Christ child. Wow. And to be in His presence then. And it reminds me, it takes back to ourselves. Today, I tell you about Jesus Christ. Today, I tell you that He came, born of a virgin. He was birthed. He lived a sinless life. But He died, was buried, rose up again from the grave, ascended to heaven. He paid the penalties for your sins. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to pay for the penalties. He restored our relationship with God. Oh, man, this thing, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, He come to restore you to Him. Wow, amen. Woo! But He didn't do a thing for you until we received that. Amen? And like the shepherds that night, the excitement they could feel because of, man, the angels, and man, this baby's born, amazing thing. They're excited to get down there to the manger. Thank you very much. You know, they're going to trouble that again. Get down there, see this thing. Man, it's awesome. Wow. And they leave. Man, that was a cool kid. Man, that was awesome. Man, you see the size of them cows? You know, slowly starting to get distracted. And that joy that was pronounced to them would not manifest itself until they actually come face to face to the Christ child as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and receive Him as Savior and Lord. That is a joy that's manifest in their life that you can't take away. And so today we look at ourselves, and the question be the day, do you have the joy of the Lord living in you, or do you have the joy of the knowledge of Jesus and He's not living in you? Have you truly received this gift called salvation that comes through Jesus? Or we just like this time of year because of the trees and the presence and the lights, and it's more peaceful. People are sometimes nicer to you this time of the year. We can make sure when the announcements came to us that, listen, there's a king named Jesus, and He did come to pay the penalty for your sins. When you receive that, not just the knowledge of it, but receive that forgiveness, that's where joy comes in. No matter what you're going through, no matter how much heartache you're going through, no matter the things that you've been praying for hasn't manifested yet, you have a couple things. Number one, you know who you are in Christ. You know you've been redeemed. Okay? Then number two, you know you have a communications with the Creator of the universe through Jesus. You didn't have that before. The prayers that we would have prayed, and most of them, they didn't go anywhere. Because sin blocks those prayers. Now when you pray, when something moves upon your heart, when your heart's breaking over somebody, oh God, you can intercede for that person. Think of that. Now God takes it from there. You know you've done what God's called you to do. And there's a joy in our heart. You see something on the news that, oh man, it's devastating. I mean, we woke up yesterday morning in Kentucky, the tornadoes and stuff. Oh my. Wow. So you intercede and you pray. You do what you can and you know you've done something. Sure, it's still devastating, but thank you, Lord, that we're able to intercede for them and pray for the families. And God, how else can we help? For some of them, maybe it's like Samaritan Purse sending money to them to help get water down there and stuff, you know. But it's that joy, the announcement. And right now, if you are born again and Christ is living in you, it's an awesome thing because it's about the same thing right now, this time, the next 2 weeks, is that the angels are announcing the Savior of the world, and there's people out there that don't know Him truly as Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. They just know that He's an awesome dude. Okay? And they believe He exists, but they never received the gift. And just think of the joy the angel must have had when they stood up there and announced Jesus Christ is born and you're going to find them in a manger. I mean, to direct the shepherds to Jesus, that has to be a thrill of a lifetime. You know what I'm saying? And folks, the same with us. When we direct people to Jesus, that has to be a thrill of a lifetime. Now, once they've given the instructions, they had to decide what to do, right? Hey, he's here. Wow, it's awesome. There's something the way that the angels pronounced it. No doubt, I mean, angels are number one. That's why it's awesome. But something inside of their conversation calls the shepherds to go and check out Jesus. And the same way in our lives today, as we pronounce Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we tell other people about it, something in our life, something in our conversation, something about the way we live is going to draw them to Jesus. Now, once they get to Jesus, they get in here, they get to the Word, He takes it from there. But us, to draw them. And what joy it is to know that. And sometimes in people's toughest life, toughest time in their life, when you just sit with them and you offer them a kind word and you pray with them, man, that takes root. That takes root. And they'll remember that. They'll bring them joy. And you look back and we talked the other day that you look at school, and at least for myself and some people the same way, my greatest teachers was the one that disciplined me. My greatest teacher is the one that told me the truth. Amen? Even though I didn't want to hear it at the time, they're the one that I look back today and have a lot of respect for them. And I believe the same way with our walk with the Lord, that when we share Christ's love at the toughest time of people's life, they're going to look back and remember that when everything else is done and gone, and when everyone else stays away after you come through the difficult time, your word that you speak to them is going to take root, because the word that you speak through Christ is alive. And it's going to anchor in there. They're going to remember what you say. You know, Friday when we were having that celebration of Dan's life, and then we just pray that, you know, Lord, let the words that were spoken today take root, and people come back to folks to bring them comfort, to bring them direction, and show them Jesus. And I know that I have confidence in what he had to share. This will make a difference in his family's life. You know, one thing that Dan said to a close brother or brother-in-law before he passed, he said, "Do me a favor. Keep praying for my children." Wow, what an awesomeness. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just keep praying for my children. Wow. I just... That's awesome. And the other announcements we'll look at today for our joy and our peace, we find that in Luke also, chapter 1, verse 26. And this is where the angel of the Lord comes to Mary. He comes to Mary to make the announcements. Now I'm just going to... you all can turn there. I'm just going to bring it. So, paraphrase, I guess. Okay. But the angel of the Lord shows up and says, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." Wow, about knocked her out. Wait a minute. Let me just go back here and read it. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary." And I say right there, remember, Joseph was a descendant of David, who was king. Mary is a daughter of a priest. So you got the kingship and you got the priesthood all together. "And coming in, the angel said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was." Now, the angel just showed up. And she's wondering, okay, what are they talking about? I mean, folks, if an angel showed up to me, I'd be running down the street. You know, like, wow. Why did she say, "Oh, run?" Like, wow, get out of here, dude. You know? Well, I think it goes back to her background. Her dad is a priest, okay? He's in the Word. Again, the priest then isn't quite like the priests are today, okay? Priests then, you can marry, have children and stuff, and some of the priests today, they're not allowed to get married. But anyway, I would imagine she's heard the Word of God a couple of times, the Old Testament. I think she heard the prophecies going on. Okay? And I always wondered, if her and her girlfriend sat around after school on a Friday night saying, man, did you read that part about a virgin going to give birth to the Messiah? Oh, that Jesus is coming on this earth. And, I mean, they talking back and forth like, who's going to be? Is it going to be you? Oh, I don't know. It might be. I'm not sure. So I think that she had been in the Word enough that when these things started happening, it didn't scare her. You're like, wow, I heard this before. And so she was complex about what the angel was talking about. That's why she didn't run away. You know, and I think it teaches us a lot today right now is that we stay in the Word and we study the Word and we read the prophecies and we see the things that He says in Matthew and other places, what's going to be like at the end times, how the world's going to be, how people's going to change, how hearts are going to change, and people's going to fall away, and what was bad is considered good, all this stuff. We need to be in that when it takes place. We don't run away. That we, okay, yep, God, you're right. You said you'd be taking it like this. It's taking place. I know the time is short for us to be on this planet Earth. I'm going to continue to be in your Word more. I'm going to continue to pray more. I'm going to continue to witness more. To encourage us. Folks, every one of you is probably going through it, myself included. I had enough. I'm going to shut my door. I got enough water and food to last me 25 years. I got enough cattle across the street. I can live for a lot longer than that. I'm done. I am done with the world. If they want to act that way, they can be that way. I'm not going to be that way. Amen? We got a few of you saying amen. But then what happens? Amen. Thank you, brother. But then what happens? We go through a phase and we realize, okay, Lord, you're not hanging me off a cross. You went through all that for the love for the people. All right. Today's a new day. Getting back up again. I'm going back out there again. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for being upset yesterday. Just my heart and the way this world is. But God, I know I can make a difference. Because why? Because as you study the Word of God, you know His coming is soon. And we want Him to come. But He doesn't want us to sit around for a rescue plane. He wants us to be busy until He shows up, until He comes. And as we stay in the Word and study the Word of God, we're going to understand these things more and more. That these things are taking place because the love of many has fallen short. People fall away from the Lord. But that doesn't mean there's a whole field of people out there ready to be rescued. Ready for the truth. Ready to see the truth. See, when we look at things today, we ask ourselves, does anyone ever tell the truth anymore? Is there anybody that doesn't lie? Is anybody truly just born again anymore? All these are going out there. And here you are representing the Master. Wow, they're out there. Waiting to, they don't know, but they're waiting to find somebody truly who's committed to Jesus. And He's living through them. And that's us, living in the end times. If we're following Him 100%. Think of that. I hit a guy and he smiled at me. You know? Wow. But that's what we're called to do. And we have to understand that. When He says that you're going to be persecuted for His name's sake, okay, you're going to be persecuted if you're following Him. Now, if we're going to be wishy-washy and say, well, I don't really want to get involved, or, well, I want to tell them about Jesus, but I didn't do it, then get out of the road. Amen? I mean, that's the bottom line. Get out of the road. Because what we can do, our testimony, the way we live our life can be so detrimental to what Jesus wants us to do that we could be causing more people going to hell following us because they think they're okay because they're doing the same thing that we were doing. Amen? And we don't want that, do we? We know this pressure's out there. We know we're still in this carnal body, that we still feel the effects of gravity, don't we? No one's floating around in here today, right? So we have a new spirit, but our body is still under the curse, if I put it that way, still under the laws of the earth part of it. We have to recognize that and prepare ourselves that we will not fall into the temptations of the world because somebody's eternal life is dependent upon us living for the Master. And He chose us. He said, I got you guys. I got you. You just follow me. Like Mary, she knew the Scripture. She had to know what was going on. That's why she didn't take off running. I truly believe that. And when I see here where she goes, In verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Wow. Can you imagine being a young girl, 14 years old, wherever she might be, going through life and find out, hey, you found favor with God? And folks, that's you today. As a born-again Christian, you have found favor with God. Amen? I mean, who else could you have on your repertoire, on your resume? Friends? Oh, God. I mean, don't put that on your application if you're okay. But I'm saying, think about that. You're friends with God. God knows your name. Think of that. Oh, you're a favor. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and she was called barren and is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Oh, wow. You look at that. And in verse 3, I'll just bring it back together here. "But you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you'll call him Jesus." Man. He'll be the Savior of the world. Mary heard it. She contemplated it. Had a question. How can I? I'm a virgin. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. It's going to produce this child in you. And it's going to be born. And it's going to save the world. Okay, she says. As you say, let it be. And the joy she must have felt at that moment when she said yes, yes to God. And look at some of the stuff she went through when she said yes. And we can imagine some of the stuff she had to go through, being not married and not pregnant, and trying to tell Dad, who's a priest, "Hey, this angel come to me." I'm not sure how much he received it. I'm not sure. We know, if you know the story at all, Joseph was ready to put her away. You know, politely divorce her. They were engaged, not married, but engaged. In those days, engagement was the same as being married. I mean, if I asked my wife to marry me and 6 months later changed my mind, I'm breaking it off. She get half my stuff. That's the way it was back in those days. It was something really serious thing, okay? And but she was willing to do all that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the joy she had to feel. That she's going to carry Jesus into the world. And folks, I believe it's the same way that you and I should feel today. Have we invited Christ into life? Yes, yes, Lord, come into my life. He lives in us. And as we carry Him, we should expose Him to others just as Mary did in her ninth month. You know what I'm saying? The joy of the Lord in our life, knowing that we've been called by Him to live at this time and to share the gospel. Oh, man, I can imagine, if you imagine, I might look like I'm 4 or 5 months, but if you imagine 9 months, I mean, there's a lady's 9 months, it's hard not to tell that they're pregnant, right? Amen? I mean, you have that glow on your face to start with, and you might be a little bit bigger in the belly, okay? But it's impossible not to see that. And the joy, and if you can put that same way to your own life today, Christ living in us, it should be so joyful that our face is so shiny that when we walk into a crowd, like, man, there's something different about them. There's a peace about them. There's a joy about them. And they should draw people to them, you know? I mean, I can remember years ago, I was going to Brother Jim's church, and we had a yard sale out the fairgrounds, okay? What was it? Church Bazaar, that's what it was. And I was there, I don't remember who the guy was. I won't try to remember anyway. And talking to people, you know, and I'm a fairly new Christian, but this lady come up, and this fellow was asking, looked at her, oh, she says, when you do? And she wasn't pregnant. Have you done that? Okay, okay. I mean, she kind of looked that way, you know, so he mentioned it. Oh, okay. So we can't have a false representation of new life. But if he would have waited just a little bit, maybe, hey, you need baby clothes, getting kids at home? Oh, no, I had all my kids. You know, he might have saved himself the embarrassment of it. But the part of it is, most of the time, when you're pregnant, people know that. They know you got life in you. And folks, as a Christian today, may that joy of the Lord be within us, that we want people to know Jesus, that we want to know that we do have new life in us. We have the Savior of the world, who is our Savior. His name is Yahweh, Yeshua. All the names that we have, Wonderful Counselor, all these words. And not to be ashamed of Him, because there's a world out there that needs the joy that you have. And during this time, just remember that when you heard the announcement about Jesus, heard about the need for your sins to be forgiven, found out that there was someone already that died for your sins, that took your place, that man, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh man, I just pray that He'll bring you that joy in your life. That you don't look anywhere else tonight as you lay your head down, you sit down in your chair, that the Word of God will come to you and just keep feeling that joy that we have. You know, today, if you want to feel happy again after church, grab another candy bar. Okay? But tonight, if you need, pick this up. Pick this up and just read. Let the joy be stimulated again, because we all can get down. All can get down. And this is designed to fill us, to bring that joy back up. And really, we'll be sharing the Word of God. You know? That's what the Lord wants us to do. You know, my wife has a habit, she'll say to me once in a while, she'll say, hey, do you love me? And of course, my response is, I married you, didn't I? Amen? Chuck, don't look at her. She's looking right at you, okay? But the thing of it is that throughout our marriage, there should always be something there. Not just by verbal expression, but by my actions that show to you, yes, I do love you. And folks, if we have to be reminded about Jesus and love that He has for us, we can read right here in the Scriptures, you know. Not that He just came to be born of a virgin, but also that He died on the cross, paid the penalty of our sins. And as the Word of God says, if God, all things are possible. Amen. When I think about the joy of the Lord, and the peacefulness, we go back to how this was spoken back in the 60s. You might recognize it.
Life, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
That was Linus on Charlie Brown. And I hear that every year. And to me, it is so peaceful. When you listen to that, it's very so simple, but so peaceful. And again, when I go back and read the Scripture, it reminds me how much love God has for us. And that's what He wants in our life. That joy, that peace, that hope. And next week, we'll look at the love that God brought to us. To the Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.